Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. There were also many other saintly demigods, kings, and special royal orders called Anuradhayas, a special rank of Rajasis from different dynasties of sages. When they all assembled together to meet the Emperor Parikshit, he received them properly and bowed his head to the ground. So, purport. The system of bowing the head to the ground to show respect to superiors is an excellent etiquette, which obliges the honored guest deep into the heart. So I'll read that again. So it says here, the system of bowing the head to the ground to show respect to superiors is an excellent etiquette which obliges the honored guest deep into the heart. Even the first grade offender is excused simply by this process. And Maharaj Parikshit, although honored by all the rishis and kings, welcomed all the big men in that humble etiquette in order to be excused from any offenses. Generally, at the last stage of one's life, this humble method is adopted by every sensible man in order to be excused before departure. In this way, Maharaj Parikshit implored everyone's goodwill for going back home, back to Godhead. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jananjana Salakeya Chaksho on Militam Yena Tasmei Sri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kaupachubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanabheo Vaishnavabheo Namo Namaha. So, thinking of my dear Guru Maharaj and his Bhagavatam overviews, talking about this Bhagavatam, and it's very, very special nature. But here we're talking about so many subtle things in how we engage with each other and the importance of it. So going through the purport, I'd like to pick up an interesting thing here. There were different forms, different yogis, different saintly persons there. And they weren't necessarily, you would say, following the Vaishnava practices. But they were saintly, and they come to give their support to a very special occasion that was coming. It was somehow the super soul. It talks about this in previous words. The super soul is actually controlling all the wanderings of the living entities. This is from Bhagavad Gita. It's 1861. And it says here that actually the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all the living entities who are seated as on a machine made of a material energy. So there's been a call by the Supreme Lord, as the Supreme Lord, as the Super Soul, to bring all these persons together, and they'll all become purified, even though they may not be practicing in their yoga form the way of the Vaishnavas. And I'll just read an explanation, because in this text here, it says here, I'll just look the word up. Rajasi Varya Aruna Dayas Cha. It says, even those. Now, this Rajasi Varya Aruna Dayas Cha, Prabhupada, I looked it up, this special yoga process which they've mentioned here in the description. It says here in the English translation. And special royal orders called the Anurudhayas, a special rank of Rajasis from different dynasties of sages. Dynasties, you could say, there were many yogas. When I was hearing the class by Vrindavan Chandra Babu, he was talking about how that there was a conference of yogis, and each had to speak, you know, their own presentation. And on the final day, because there were so many of them, they were limited to their speaking time. But as they began to speak, somehow the allocated 3 minutes was lost, and they all wanted to still propound their own personal truth of what they were following. And so a big fight broke out amongst them, because none of them had really, or you could say a proportion of them, had no chance to even say their 3 minutes. It was lost in the limited time they had for the venue. They had to sort of go. So now, this I looked up this particular branch of yogis, and it says here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, those who follow the path of the great saintly mystic yogis take to the yogic gymnastic process and begin worshipping from the abdomen, where it is said that Brahman is located. Such people are called Sarkarakshas, which means they are situated in the gross bodily conception. There are also followers of the rishi known as Aruna. Following the path, they observe activities of the arteries, and thus they gradually rise up to the heart, where the subtle Brahman, Paramatma, is situated. They then worship him, O unlimited Ananta. Better than these persons are the mystic yogis who worship you from the top of their heads, beginning from the abdomen, proceeding through to the heart. They reach the top of the head and pass through the Brahma Randra, the hole in the top of the skull. Thus, these yogis attain perfectional platform and do not enter into the cycle of birth and death again. But what it says, they're on the gross bodily platform. It's something we can't do. And Prabhupada, he talks about this, that we know we've been given a special process of this chanting Hare Krishna. And these mystic yogis, they're still on the gross bodily platform. They may get there, but it's not even within our capabilities in this age. So, but they were there too to hear King Parikshit. Everyone was given the mercy of this Bhagavatam. And this is what we should understand. Because he was offering respect to all these different sages from different places of worship, you could say. Their worship was different. But they've come into this place, sent by the Super Soul, to be the well-wishers of Maharaj Parikshit. And so, he, knowing so, understanding that all these saintly persons assembled, though from different aspects of the yoga process, were all to be respected. And so it says here in this purport, the system of bowing the head to the ground to show respect to superiors is an excellent etiquette which obliges the honored guest deep into the heart. So when somebody honors you, that actually it or shows this respect, you know, we can understand that this is, they're advanced, they're saintly in their nature. It says here, what does it say? The only guest is felt that, this person cares about me. And even the first grade offender is excused simply by this process, through, although honored by all the rishis and the kings and welcomed by all the big men in that humble etiquette, in order to be excused from any offenses. You see, he knew his business was really to satisfy everyone there who attended to hear what had to be said. You could say, not only was it beneficial for himself and all those, but all those present, that all were shown this etiquette and they felt respected and wanted and needed to be there at this high assembly of rishis, that this is very wonderful. So welcomed by all the big men, this humble etiquette is in order to be excused from offences. Now Prabhupada's explaining to us that when somebody attends to a rishi or a saintly person in their final days, that actually they've come to pay their respects because this person that's here before me, who's leaving this world, and that we are about to hear narrations from a great speaker, Sukadeva Goswami, that they'll be able to hear the highest tattva, which will be suitable for everyone, and will be given a chance to all be elevated in this assembly of King Parikshit. And so he received them properly and bowed his head to the ground. So here, in this way, Parikshit implored, he says, implored everyone's goodwill for going back home to Godhead. But also, he wanted to go. He had this earnest request in his heart to reunite with the Lord in the spiritual world. So we can see that as an example. It's at the time of death, it's a very crucial point. And this reminded me of what happened with Mother Kalangana. That people came from all around and they've heard about her, they've had contact with her, that she was actually a very, very saintly person. And it was a special situation where she was leaving the planet. And all those people that came we can understand have been sent by the Super Soul. Because, now I'll quote, this is from the chapter, Vader's Personified in Krishna, in Krishna book. And it says here that similarly the Vedas, similarly another part of the Vedas is said that you have nothing to do, you are so perfect in knowledge and potency that everything becomes manifest simply by your will. They're talking about Krishna. So everything becomes manifested by his will. There's no one equal to you, and everyone acts as your internal servant. Thus, the Vedic statements describe the Absolute has no legs, no hands, no eyes, no ears, no mind, and yet he can act through his potencies, all the living entities. He acts through us. He acts in such a way that we are controlled by him through these special situations. And that actually, as part and parcels of the Lord, he says he acts through his potencies. These potencies are the living entities. And they are his hands, his personal hands. And these are the persons that actually are acting as instruments of the Lord. They're Krishna's hands that are massaging this person who's leaving this world. Like with Prabhupada, you saw them there massaging, looking after him. They were all serving Prabhupada, weren't they, in his last days. It's very touching. But Prabhupada, he stayed as long as he could. And who was he doing that for? Anybody like to guess that he was trying to stay as long as possible? It's not a catch question. It's something, you know. He's their spiritual master. Yes, that's good respect. But what was Prabhupada's motive, do you think, behind it as well? Sorry, is there a microphone? Okay.
Okay. Spread the love for Krishna to everyone and to give it all away.
Yeah, you could say, but he wanted it. Yes. Sorry, can you? Yeah. Can you bring the mic over?
To prepare his disciples.
Yeah, prepare them. Yeah. Also, another motive.
To encourage disciples.
Yeah, to encourage them. But there's something just beyond that. There's one thing that occurred to me. That he was giving them service. He was actually, his motive was to give them service as he was leaving. To actually, he was staying around so they could serve him as long as he could. Because he knew they would make benefit by this service, not for his own interest, but for their interest. It's an underlying thing. And so all of a sudden we start to... So Parikshit and the meeting of Sukadev Goswami had this underlying motive. It was good for everyone there, whoever they were. You know that they were going to hear this pure rendition of the Srimad Bhagavatam by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. They were there. They were, and it was the super soul who took them there. They heard about it, and they were sent by super soul, controlling the wanderings of all the living entities. He's doing that. And so we start to understand that actually Prabhupada was so unselfish in his duties. Even in his last days, he was translating. And so he was getting their assistance for this. Time was short. And so it shows how that whatever we have, that we can utilize, but just knowing that actually we're becoming instruments of the Lord. And if I could a quote from Prabhupada's letter to Jayapataka Swami. He's told us the secret of surrendering to Krishna. So what is that secret? Such a surrendered soul sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. No matter what I am doing now, I'm meant to be doing. So let me do it with my full attention, no matter what it is. Let all other considerations be forgotten. And then it says, let me become absorbed in such service. So whatever I'm doing now, and this has to be applicable to everyone. It's household devotees, temple devotees, you could say, that actually, that Krishna's put you in that position. If you think that's, just different from the temple devotees and the householder devotees, you're wrong, because Prabhupada says so. Whatever you're doing now, you're meant to be doing. And it says, sacrifice is born of prescribed duties. You've been given prescribed duties for your lifetime according to your nature and to which you can utilize. And it says, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, even sudras, according to their position in life, can get this wonderful Krishna Katha and the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it says then that all the living entities are his hands and arms and his legs. So we're actively become part of Krishna's plan. If we could take in our consciousness this understanding that everything is God sent. And I remember Samprabhu, when he asked the question about austerities, it's not what we see in the scriptures and we copy those persons' austerities. Our austerities are given to you already as part of your service. It's austere. It can be difficult. Trials and tribulations, following the regulative principles, can be very, very difficult. Some householders are really struggling. But the one thing that, you know, in even divided families, there's devotees, but there's non-devotees in the same family. What do? They follow their heart. Do what they can in all circumstances. Seek advice, seek support of devotees. And certainly that all these dilemmas that we encounter in this world, they're sent by God. They're tests of our fixed nature to stay with Krishna. So, this is King Parchi. And this is what's going to bring Sukadeva Goswami before them all. This this special person that's going to be sent by Krishna to tell them Srimad Bhagavatam and to tell us all, Srimad Bhagavatam, for this age. So I think I better finish here for the questions and answers. But certainly, it's in this Vedas personified. They say that each of us are his arms and legs. That actually we're nothing but instruments in the Lord's plan. And you could say, well, Krishna's using us. That's not very nice, is it? Yeah, it's something that is that to be prayed for, to be used, to feel useful. Isn't it nice? To feel useful, isn't it? Not useless. This is the way of life in material life, because you can't achieve anything. It's still there waiting for you. This return back to Godhead. So people will find out in their own good time that what's the point? No, I'm not satisfied. And so one day they'll get hold of Prabhupada's books and they'll find out why. They'll find out that actually it's all in the Bhagavad Gita and all the books that Prabhupada bought us, like Srimad Bhagavatam as well. So that's any comments or questions? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for that beautiful class. My question is, how do you... Okay, sometimes when you're trying to follow your heart, people just think like, oh, it's this Hare Krishna, he's always talking about following the heart. But how do you make them... How do you be a good instrument in Krishna's hand? How do you give your 100%? So they don't just think you're just another fool trying to follow your heart. And you're always talking about following
your heart. Your heart, yeah. Our hearts, well, my heart anyway, is full of anartas, you know. And if I follow it, I'm in trouble. Definitely I'm in trouble. Because I need to follow what the devotees want and their needs. Not my heart. And every day you'll have a duty to perform in association. And you do that in such a way that it's that you associate in a nice friendly way as best you can, but we're all subject to the modes of material nature. Well, you know, certainly myself, this body has a certain propensity, and I have to understand that you know, especially whenever you're serving anybody in any sense, you've got to ask them, what do you need? What do you want? What is available? And, you know, how can I serve you? You know, what's the best way? Where to put it on the plate? That's for me, anyway, when serving prasad. You know, exactly how you present it and ask them their needs, not plonk it on, get it on, get the next prep out. You know, it's got to be in such a way that the person hopefully can feel that their needs are met as best we can under the circumstances. So that's the important bit, that whatever we do in association and with each other and whatever service we have, we do it in a friendly manner and we cooperate in a spirit, as I say, we say tolerate and cooperate. We got to tolerate, but who have we got to tolerate? Tell me. You ask the question.
I don't know the answer, but like ourselves?
Yes. Our intolerance. We have to tolerate our intolerance. Because we shouldn't feel we have to tolerate. We should say, this is a devotee. We're serving together. We should be in harmony. And the harmony means that we Our life is a concession. We have to let go of those things that will take us separate or make us separate. When Gurmai says this separateness, this feeling that we're different from each other, will go. That actually we're all part and parcel of Krishna. And it says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:35, he says that having obtained this knowledge from the self-realized soul, you will learn that all living entities are but part of the Supreme, and they belong to me. They're all dear to me. Isn't it? That's what it says. They belong to me. And they don't belong in a possessive way to Krishna. They belong in a loving way. We belong with him. Isn't it? We belong with him as his little servants, together harmonizing and taking each other back to God, back to Godhead. And that's when we take it away from ourselves and we say, this person in front of me is really the most important person in my interaction at this moment. He's, or she, is this most important person. That this is part and parcel of Krishna. He's Krishna. So, this is what we're hearing now in Bhagavatam all the time. Part and parcel of Krishna. So, any other comments, questions? Whoops. Got 1 minute.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class.
Okay.
I took away from the pulpit that we should make sure that we respect all different types of worship and forms of transcendental life, I guess.
Yeah.
So how can we make sure that we don't judge other movements and other processes of self-realization?
Yeah.
But at the same time, we must have some form of criticism to establish our movement as something which is not superior, but something that's obviously the source of everything. How can we see it in that way, being respectful but not indulging?
Prabhupada was very expert at this, actually. He saw the differences between people and yogis, and he was speaking to those yogis. But what he was doing, he was speaking to them in such a way for their sake. He was friendly. He always had a friendly attitude. But at the same time, he says, "You rascal." This is not what Krishna says. I'm not saying Krishna says you're a rascal. So, but Prabhupada can do that. But what we should do is imbibe his mood that we be friendly to, you know, the different denominations there are in this world. We have to do that because that's our role. Friendly to everybody. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Thyself. What is the self? The self is the soul. That's the reality. Non-different, you know, these teachings. They're just in, you know, they come under different headings, it seems, in this world. But, yeah, basically, you could say, whether it be Muslim, whether it be Christianity or whatever, they're all Vaishnavas. A Supreme Lord is there. But how they worship him is according to their own nature. Chapter 17 will tell you all about that in Bhagavad Gita. Divisions of faith. Why it is so. Why they're there. They're meant to be there. It's Krishna's plan. Not our plan. They're directed in accordance with their desires. Who are we to criticize Krishna's plan? Because that's what we're doing. He's satisfying everybody according to their needs and desires. And likewise us, so be careful of your desire, isn't it? If you want to win the bulls, get it. And get everything that goes with it. All this money to bring love. Money can't buy me love, the Beatles say. So we better finish there. Thank you for your kind attention. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Gaur Maharaj Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.